So this morning, the question for this morning is, do you know how to give? I mean, really, do you know how to give? So many opportunities to give, and yet so many false motives and misunderstandings. You know, I read the story about this mother who visited an orphanage. And she visited the orphanage, and she just fell in love with the kids, and she looked at this orphanage, and it seemed to her that the kids had practically nothing. And so she went home. She had three kids, and she wanted her kids to kind of catch the idea that there's other people in need, and she wanted to kind of motivate her kids to maybe take some of their toys and give it to these orphans. And so she gathered the kids together, and she said, you know, these poor children don't have a mother, they don't have a father, they don't have aunts or uncles. Would you children like to give something to them? And they got these blank stares back, you know. And so the kids went and talked about it, and they came back to the mother and said, okay, Mom, we decided what we want to give. We want to give Aunt Martha to them. And sometimes gifts are not really gifts. They're just paybacks. Like I read this story about this pastor in San Francisco, and it was just a couple of days after Christmas, and he walked out in the front of the church, and they had a nativity scene there. And he noticed that the baby Jesus was missing. And he looked around, he looked down the street, and he saw this little boy with a red wagon, and the little baby Jesus was in the wagon, and he was going down the street. So he kind of hurried up and caught up with the boy, and he says, how you doing, young man? He says, I'm doing great. He says, well, where did you pick up your passenger? And he said, oh, I got it at the church. And he says, well, why'd you take him? And he said, well, about 2 weeks before Christmas, I prayed to Jesus and said, if you give me a red wagon, I'll give you a ride around the block. So, yeah, he was just paying Jesus back for that red wagon. But, you know, Jesus made giving simple, exciting, and rewarding. Here's what Jesus said. Give to those in need. Stop trying to impress people. And give without expecting anything in return. And that's really the message for this morning. And that's the application for this morning. So in the passage that we're going to look at today, Jesus speaks of the Christian life. You know, we've been working our way through the book of Mark. And in chapter 5, Jesus tells us how we can be blessed. Then he tells how to get along with the people we know and interact with. And now we come to chapter 6, and Jesus tells us how to do religious things without becoming a hypocrite. So none of us want to become hypocrites. So this will be a very helpful and practical lesson straight from the Lord Jesus. So first, let's read what Jesus says. So if you'll open your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And you'll find this on page 867 in the Rack Bible. And you guys up here in the front row, you may not know this, but there's a secret pocket under you where there's Bibles. And you can just reach under there and grab a Bible. And you're not in children's church downstairs. You're with the big folks up here. Yeah, that's it right there. That's the Bible. Go ahead and pull that out. And turn to page 867. Page 867. So, just flip through there. It's kind of towards the back of the Bible. And we're going to wait for you until you find it, because we want you to see that this is really what Jesus said, and I'm not just making this stuff up. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start at the very beginning of the chapter, verse 1. So, you're getting closer. Matthew chapter 6. And you might want to help your buddy out there. Matthew chapter 6. There you go, yeah. We help one another in this church. So we can all be on the same page. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 1. There, we've got it. We're together. So look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 1. And just follow along as I read. Jesus is speaking, and he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now let's talk about this passage. We're just going to talk about these four verses. This will probably be a pretty short sermon this morning. But before we begin, I just want to make a few observations. First of all, look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." So he's talking about giving, and Jesus is not just talking about giving. So this is kind of the introduction to the chapter. So look at verse 2. It says, "So when you give to the poor," so in other words, when you give to the poor, don't make a big deal about it. Now look down at verse 5. It says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men." And then look down at verse 16. And then he says, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting." So this introduction of not trying to impress men has to do with giving, has to do with praying, and has to do with fasting. And secondly, I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't say, "If you give." He doesn't say, "If you pray." He doesn't say, "If you fast." He says, "When you give," and "When you pray," and "When you fast." And so I just want you to notice that these are three religious activities that Jesus expects us to do. And then he explains how to do these things without becoming a hypocrite. So this morning we're just going to look at how to give. So let's again look at verse 1. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them." Now, we like to be noticed, don't we? We like others to think good of us. Some of you may remember the famous boxer, Muhammad Ali. You know, he was always saying, "I'm the greatest." You remember that? "I'm the best." Well, he had a friend who was kind of getting tired of him saying that all the time. And so he turned to Ali and he said, "How are you at golf?" And so Ali says, "I'm the best. I just haven't played it yet." So here we are in verse 1. Jesus says, if you do something good just to be noticed by other people, you have no reward from your heavenly Father in heaven. So think about it. Everything we have comes from God. That's what the Bible says. Our talents, our abilities, our opportunities that come our way, everything comes from God. Paul asked the rhetorical question in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He says, "What do you have that God has not given you?" Okay, it's a rhetorical question. Everything we have comes from God. And then he continues and says, "And if you got it from God, why do you boast as if you created it yourself?" God is the creator. There's nothing that we have that God has not given us. When we take credit for what God has given us, we steal glory from God. So why should God reward us for stealing his glory? He's not going to do it. He will not reward us. When we take credit for what God has given us, we become a hypocrite. The word hypocrite comes from a Greek word that refers to actors. Specifically, you remember the Greek actors who would put a mask on. And if it had a smile, they were acting happy. If they had a sad face, they would act sad. And so these actors pretend to be something that they're not. So when we do something good and bring attention to ourselves, we are pretending that we deserve the credit for that good deed, when really God deserves the credit. And so Jesus says, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Now you might be thinking, that's okay, I'm not looking for heaven rewards. Right now I need some earthly rewards. You know, I want people to notice me because I need some respect around this place. I want to be noticed by other people because I want to improve my self-worth. I want you to know that you don't have to be noticed by other people to improve your self-worth. God has already declared that you have great value. You have eternal value. You are worth so much that God became a man and walked on this dirty world, and he suffered a torturous death to pay the penalty for our sins because he saw worth in us, because he wanted us to come into his presence and live with him forever. You are worth far more than you can think or imagine. God loves you and considers you worthy of eternal life. We don't need to get worth from other people. God has put worth upon us by bringing us to himself. God has declared that each one of us have eternal value. God has told you that he loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's how valuable you are to him. That's why he died on the cross, because you have eternal worth. If we belong to Christ, we can relax knowing that he considers us as having great worth. Again, you might be thinking, I need earthly rewards so that I can pay my earthly bills. I need an earthly relationship so I won't be lonely on earth. I need earthly medicine so I won't be in such earthly pain. So now is the time when we need to be reminded that God owns everything on earth and rules over everything on earth. Your Heavenly Father can reward you with wisdom to manage what you have. And he is perfectly capable of rewarding you by sending you the resources you need to pay your bills. And when God rewards you by pouring his love in your heart, every relationship you have will improve. And when God fills you with his Holy Spirit, you'll never be alone again. And God is perfectly capable to lead you to the right doctor or to the right diagnosis to help you manage your pain. And if it is his will, to supernaturally bring healing. And of course, there's a day when we'll go to be with him and we'll be completely healed and have a resurrected body with no pain or disease and no sorrow or crying. You don't want to miss out on the rewards that your Heavenly Father has prepared for you. We saw in chapter 5 that God is eager to bless us. Here we learn that he is also eager to reward us. He is eager to forgive us of our pride when we repent. He is eager to help us help with whatever we're struggling with this morning. He's eager to lead you if you will look to him, trust him, and follow him. You may be here this morning and you may be struggling. You may be struggling emotionally. You may be struggling financially. You may be struggling spiritually. And God can meet each one of our needs. That's what the church is for. We help those who are struggling emotionally by praying for them, by counseling them. We help those that are struggling financially by helping provide for those in our community and in our fellowship. And we help those that are struggling spiritually by teaching the Word of God. God's Word helps us to grow. God's Word is our spiritual food. So Jesus says in the second verse, he says, when you give to the poor, at least that's the New American Standard translation. It's interesting to know that the word poor is not in the original Greek. It's not in the original text. The phrase give to the poor is really one Greek word. It's a pretty long Greek word, and it literally refers to giving help or meeting a need. Now, everyone has needs. Poor, middle class, and the rich all have needs. Everyone needs God. Doesn't matter what your social standing is or what your financial standing is. So when you tell someone about Jesus, you're meeting a need. Everyone needs wisdom, love, understanding. So anytime you can help someone, regardless of their economic status, you're doing what this verse says to do. But when you do that good deed, he says, don't sound the trumpet. You know, I think this is really funny. You know, it is true that during the time of Jesus, the rich would come into the synagogue, and, you know, synagogue is the Jewish church and kind of the Jewish community center. And the Jewish would come into the synagogue with a large entourage. And they would make a big show. And they would make a big show when they gave money to the synagogue. And if you could just imagine, you know, somebody in this room standing up and blowing a trumpet, bah, 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 you know, and then dumping a bunch of money into, you know, into the offering plate. That would just be wild and crazy. And, you know, some think, you know, they read this passage and really historically there's no evidence that people actually literally blew a trumpet. But that doesn't mean they didn't do it. Jesus said it. You know, he says it as if this really happens. And that must have been, you know, something amazing to see. And it was the epitome of pride. So Jesus says, don't be a hypocrite. And Jesus said these people would do it not only in the synagogue, but they go out in the streets and do it. They see somebody poor, needed some money, and instead of just, you know, slipping them a sandwich or slipping them a few dollars, they would blow the trumpet and lift this person up and give him some coins. But Jesus says, don't be a hypocrite. In other words, don't make a big show of giving to God when and really you just want to show people how rich you are. Or you just want everyone to think that you're a good person because of your generosity. Jesus says these hypocrites do it in their synagogue and out on the streets. They want everyone to know that they're doing a good deed. And they're doing it to be honored by men. Jesus says, do not give to be honored by men. Jesus is saying that if you want others to know that you're giving to the needy, you're a hypocrite. You're not really interested in helping the needy. You just want the praise and adoration of others. Do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. That's what Jesus says next. No, so this is probably a common expression that referred to doing something indiscreet or discreetly without anyone knowing. You know, the most satisfying giving is done in secret. The most satisfying giving is done to honor God and to help others. Bible scholars tell us that during the time of Jesus, there was a special out-of-the-way place in the temple where shy, humble Jews could leave their gifts without being noticed. Another place nearby was provided for the shy poor who did not want to be seen asking for help. And here they would come into this special room and take what they needed. The name of the place was the Chamber of the Silent. The Chamber of the Silent. I like that. It was kind of like our clothing exchange here in Pine Mountain Club. Have you ever done that? We have a clothing exchange once a year, and we have a junk exchange too. So that's where, you know, the clothing exchange is where people come, they donate clothes, and then on a designated day, anybody who wants clothes, they just come into the room and they pick what they want. And then the designated junk day is people give their junk, their stuff, and if you want more stuff, you go show up and you take whatever you want. And actually, it's a pretty cool thing. And we've gotten some pretty nice clothes and stuff by participating in that. Now, I want to stop and say that Jesus doesn't say that we should only do good things in secret. It's fine if people see our good deeds. In fact, back in chapter 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine that others may, listen, see your good works." But what is going to be the result? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we should do things in such a way that God is honored, that God is pleased, and people are reminded of God. In other words, when people see you do something good, they'll praise God for what you've done. They'll thank God for that good deed. When people know of your good deed and praise God, you know you're on the right track. So Jesus says in verse 4, if you give in secret, your heavenly Father will reward you. We all love rewards. Right, guys? God sees you. God sees us and He knows what we're thinking and He knows what we're doing. Okay, listen to this. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing every minute of the day. There's nothing that God does not see. Psalm 139 begins this way. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. That can either be a really exciting truth or a really scary truth. It can be a scary truth if you're doing something that you know God, that does not please God. It can be an exciting truth if you know that He's watching you, that He's leading you, that He's guiding you, and that He will reward you. God is the great rewarder. There's no rewarder greater than God. God says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, He who honors me, I will honor. You want honor? Honor God. And God will honor you. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. God is the rewarder of those who seek Him. And you don't want to miss out on heavenly rewards from your heavenly Father. So let's talk about a few points of application. First of all, stop trying to please people. Okay, you know what? It never works. It never helps. Maybe for a short time. But in the long run, it never helps. Secondly, give without expecting anything in return. Be a giver and expect nothing in return. God is going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about getting stuff back. God is faithful. He'll be faithful to care for you and provide for you. God's provision, God's faithfulness frees us to be givers. And then lastly, live for the rewards that come from heaven. Live for the rewards that come from heaven. What are the rewards from heaven? You might be tired of me hearing me list them. Okay, here's just a few of God's rewards. His forgiveness. A second chance. Wisdom. Help in every situation. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all blessings and gifts from God. He wants to reward our lives with these heavenly gifts. These are the rewards that make living on earth joyful, fulfilling, and adventurous. Joining the adventure in following Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for these words of Jesus. Thank you for reminding us that you are the great giver. And Lord, because we belong to you, we need to do what you do. We need to be givers like you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts to trust you, and you would stir our hearts to live for you. If you're here this morning, or if you're watching and listening online and you've never repented of your sin and put your trust in Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Knowing Christ is the reason you were created. Knowing your Creator and living for Him is God's purpose for you. To live for yourself is to live a miserable life. To live for Christ is to live a joyful life. I want to encourage you to give your life to Christ today. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for meeting us this morning. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for blessing us so abundantly that we, by your grace, can be givers. And so, Lord, I pray that we as a body here this morning, we as individuals here this morning, will become givers. That we will not cling to anything, but live in confidence, knowing of your provision and your love for us. And Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here as we represent you as givers in the community and in the places that you send us. And for this, we give you thanks for this wonderful opportunity to represent you as a giver. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.